Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, students, and especially our veterans and their spouses. Welcome to our Veterans Day. It's our honor to recognize you for your service and sacrifice to our country. So, veterans, before we begin, would you please stand and be recognized? And if you have a spouse, would you stand with your veteran? It's our great honor to do this for you today. Now we'll have our invocation by our student chaplain, Michael Vaughn.
Please bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day and for this wonderful school. But more than anything, we thank you for the chance to honor these brave men and women who have served our country in such a noble fashion. We thank you for their courage, their selflessness, to better our great nation and the freedoms they give us through their actions. We want to pray a special blessing over the men and women who are overseas now, that you would protect them and guide them in all they do to serve our country. And we also want to thank you for the lives of those who have been lost and gone to be with you, Lord. Thanks again for this beautiful day and the chance to honor these veterans. In your son's name we pray, amen.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night
Good morning. We are privileged to have as our speaker today the actor who played the role of Nathan Hayes in the clip you just watched from the movie Courageous. More than that, though, I am privileged to introduce to you a speaker who not only acted in a movie entitled Courageous, but is truly courageous. Ken Bevel is here to be with us on this Veterans Day Assembly. He served 20 years in the United States Marine Corps, including two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. Currently, he is on the pastoral staff team at Sherwood Baptist Church. He's a graduate of the University of Memphis, holding a Bachelor of Science in Computer Engineering Technology. He also has an MBA in Logistics Management from the Naval Postgraduate School. He and his wife, Luana, have been happily married for 15 years and have two children, Kyra and Caleb. Would you please join me in welcoming Ken Bevel to the assembly today?
Well, thank you so much for having me today, and I am just delighted to be here. And God has just really been good. He has really, really been good. And the one thing that I love to tell people before I even start talking, because this is probably one of the most important things that you'll ever hear, is Galatians 6 and 14. And this is what it reads. It says, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You see, the movies have been fantastic. They have been changing, helping to change people's lives across the world. But God didn't do it for me. He just allowed me to be a vessel that he could use for his glory. And that's just a great thing about it. So I want to say thank you so much for allowing me to come speak today on this Veterans Day celebration. To all of the Marine brothers out there, happy birthday, Marine. Tomorrow is the Marine Corps birthday, and we never take that lightly. So happy birthday, Marines. If we could just give them a hand. And for all the other service members that are out there and that have retired or gotten out at some point, I just want to say thank you so much for their service. And let the record show, the Marine Corps did come last. Did you see that when the choir was singing here? The Marine Corps came last. But the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So I just want to throw some biblical scripture on there. So once again, thank you. When people see me on the movies, and I mean, I've been around the world traveling. I've been to the White House, the Pentagon, talking about the changes that God can make in people's lives. And God has given me tremendous platforms. But I think it's important to let you know where I came from. Because see, when I was your age, I would have never been here. I lived in Jacksonville, Florida. I grew up there, loved everything about the city, loved everything about my family. I had four brothers and sisters, and we were a poor family, and that's all I saw. I got in a lot of trouble when I was younger. I was drinking, going out to clubs, doing different things, just wanting to do my own thing, be my own person, you know, how we are as teenagers, give me my own rights. I just want to be my own person. At 17 years old, I knew three things were going to happen to me. One of three things were going to happen to me. Either I was going to be dead, in jail, or on drugs, no doubt about it. All the signs were there. Everything was written on the wall where I would be going because I didn't pay attention in school. I barely squeaked by school. I think I made like a 1.8 graduating high school, and it was only by the grace. I don't even think you can graduate with a 1.8 GPA. Barely squeaked by getting out of high school. Well, I joined the Marine Corps. What other place to go to where they got the discipline, the physical fitness? I said, that's the place where I need to be. I need to join the Marine Corps. Joined the Marine Corps, loved everything about it. First tour of duty, went straight to the Persian Gulf War with an artillery regiment. Loved it. Loved everything about it. But how many people know, just because you change locations, if your mind never changes, you're the exact same person. So after a few years in the Marine Corps, I started doing some of the same things over and over again. Drinking, clubbing, fighting, you name it, I did it. I had an old first sergeant. He called me into his office. He says, "Get on in here, Corporal Bevel." He said, "I want to tell you something."
He said, "You're not as bad as you think you are." I was like, "Of course I am, First Sergeant." And he was like, "There's no time for joking." He said, you have been doing things on your off-duty time that are not acceptable according to Marine Corps standards, and if you don't stop, we're going to court-martial you." I said, "Okay, First Sergeant." I got my things, and I walked out of there being a teenager. I said, "Hey, I can do things just a little bit differently. I can switch up who I hang around. I can go different places. I can do things differently, and I can still continue to do what I'm doing." Well, 2 weeks later, this First Sergeant called me back in his office, and he said, "Stand at attention," right in front of my desk. So I stood at attention in front of his desk. He said, "I told you to stop, didn't I?" And right in front of me, he laid out all the evidence that he needed to see. Because you see, sin just doesn't stop at just doing this minor bad things. You go from minor things to major things. And that's what I was doing. So he said to me, he said, "Corporal Bella, I'm going to recommend to the colonel for you a general court-martial." And for those of you that have been in the military, you know that a general court-martial can get you in Leavenworth. It is a federal offense. So I said, "First Sergeant," and so he started reading me my rights. I said, "No, First Sergeant, you don't have to do it." He said, "Nope, I have to do that." So he started reading me my rights, and right before my eyes, I saw my life start crumbling. I mean, I just could not take it anymore. I go back over to my barracks room. I can remember this like it was yesterday. I go back over to my barracks room, and I thought about three things. I thought about, number one, why don't I just commit suicide and just leave all this behind? Because that's a very real thing. I don't want to even face my family. I can't face my friends. I can't face my superiors. I said, I just want to leave it all behind. The second thing was, why don't I just run away? Why don't I just go UA and I just get away from it all, and I'll never come back, and a few years they'll find me and I'll go to jail, but it won't be as bad as it is now. But the third thing is, I always remember what my mom had told me. Because see, my mother always prayed for me. She said that the day that you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart. Listen to him. So right there in that barracks room, I got down on my knees. And I said, "God, if you're real, I need to see you right now." And, you know, it wasn't one of those prayers that you pray just to get out of trouble. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you do something and you just want to get out of trouble and you say, "God, if you just get me out of this right now," you know, and you go back to doing what you're doing. It wasn't any time for that. I said, "God, I need to hear your voice right now, because if I don't, I'm going to lose it." So I get up from my prayer, and just like the Bible talks about a peace that surpasses understanding, that keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, and that's what I felt right there on that barracks room floor. And I got up, and the situation was still the same, but my mind was different. I was a transformed person. So I went out a couple weeks later. I'm still getting interrogated. I'm still going through the court process and different things like that. And I'm walking through the Walmart parking lot, and I see three guys walking toward me. And, you know, I grew up in the hood, so I'm thinking, okay, either I'm going to get robbed or these are the people from the church. So I start walking directly toward them, and they said, "How you doing? We're from such and such church. How you doing? Nice to meet you." They said, "I want to ask you one question. Are you saved?" I said, "No, I'm not, but I need to be." So right there in that Walmart parking lot, I lifted my hands and gave my life to Christ, and my life has been different ever since. Totally different. You see, God had told me, he says, "There's something that I need for you to do, and there's no time to waste time like you've been doing." So I go back to my base and everything, and things are still going. A lady shows up that's called a monitor in the Marine Corps. A monitor is a person that moves you around in the Marine Corps. She shows up. She says, "Corporal Belva, I've heard your story. I just want to let you know that they have dropped all the charges on you, and I'm here to send you wherever you want to send me." I said, "I need to get as far away as I can." She sent me all the way to Okinawa, Japan, 6,000 miles away. And from that moment on, God started showing me, "I have something for you to do, and you don't have time to waste." He sent me to college. I got a great degree. I'm walking across the college campus smiling the whole time, because I know I have no business being there. It's incredible. I was like, man, this is incredible. And at the same time, God was allowing me to win people, to tell people about the gospel in places that I went and at school campuses. And I saw tons of people coming to the Lord. And I was in such conflict because I saw these people coming to the Lord. But then I knew over here, I still had a 1.8 grade point average. And I had no business being in a college of engineering. So over here, I'm winning people to the Lord. And over here, you have people, you know, I'm in the college of engineering. And I'm trying to balance the two, and I'm saying, Lord, where's the balance here? I really need to do this, but, you know, I know this is what you've called me to. So he says, continue to do this. I'll take care of this. You know, I need to still study. I just can't not study. So continue to do this, but I'll take care of this. And so I continue to do that. At the end of my school year, I graduated top of the class in engineering. That's incredible. Nobody but God can do that. No one but God can do that. I leave there, become an aide de camp, travel all throughout the world, sitting in back of the journal, just listening to these briefings with the president. And I'm like, hey, I'm the guy with a 1.8 sitting in the back of the room, and I'm in the room with the president. You know, this is incredible to me because no one but God could do that. No one but God could do that. And now the movies, guess what? I'm not even an actor. This is so funny to me because I've never acted a day in my life. Besides being a tree in a preschool play, I've never done this. I'm serious. I've never done it. Never done this in my life. But you know why God is doing this? So that I can tell people about the gospel. That's all. The reason why I have all the degrees and different things like that in the military is so I could tell people about the gospel. You know, I was in Leon Panetta's office 2 weeks ago. Isn't that cool? Leon Panetta. Who would have guessed? I knew there were cameras all in the office. I started sitting in the back of his desk and just kind of sit back, but we couldn't bring cameras in, and it just blows me away. Because here I am, you know, a person with a 1.8 telling people about the gospel. This is incredible. It's incredible. I could not do this on my own. So when I talk about not boasting in myself, I am dead set on my life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. And I owe my commander-in-chief everything that I have. Everything that I have. So when you think about Veterans Day and you think about the purpose why we're here today, number one, how do I tell God thank you for all he's done? How do I tell him thank you for the things that he's brought me through, for the danger that he's brought me through? I can remember getting ready to land in Afghanistan and this great fear coming over me. And I mean, I've got troops on the ground and this great fear comes over me like somebody is trying to kill you. Somebody has a bullet with your name on it in Afghanistan. And I was like, God, please help me. Help me to get over this. Help my mind. Help me to be a leader. Help me to stand out and do the things that I'm supposed to do, that I'm called to do for the duty of our country. And once again, God gives me that peace, just like that. He said, I've got all this. You don't worry about this. You do what I've called you to do. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, when you think about that particular instance in my life, and I think about Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's our purpose. Deny himself. My plans are not my own anymore. I had planned to do 40 years in the Marine Corps. I loved the Marine Corps. I was in good health. I was up for promotion. You know, everything was going great. Everything. I'm standing in Bagram, Afghanistan on a mountain. God says, get out of the Marine Corps. It's time to go. So guess what? I go back and I'm obedient. I put in my retirement papers. The general goes crazy. Why are you retiring? I said, because the Lord is calling me out. And you know what he said to me? Unsaved person, I can see that. So he signed my paperwork. So now I'm out of the Marine Corps. And now I'm working on staff at the church. But when we talk about our veterans, you know, you have young men and women that have given their lives and have sacrificed their lives so that we can have the freedoms that we now enjoy. And how do you say thank you to a group of, you know, a group of people like that who have given everything, sacrificed family time, everything that they have, to these men and these women here who have served? How do you say thank you? Because I'm sure it's not a mere, hey, thank you for your service. You know, you hear people say that all the time, and that's great. But how do you truly tell someone thank you for the service that they have provided so you and your family could be free? So you know what I did? I called up some friends of mine that are at some different embassies. You know, I still got some great connections in the Marine Corps. So I call a friend of mine who's in France. I say, hey, man, how do you say thank you to someone who's given everything for you? He says, in France, we say merci. How many people are taking French in here? Merci. Is that how you say it? Yeah, there you go. I said, okay. He said, say merci. I said, okay, good. That's French for thank you. I said, okay, well, I can't say that. I'm a Marine. That sounds too girly for me. So I said, you got to move on. So I call a friend of mine in Germany, and I said, hey, man, how do you say thank you to someone who's in Germany? And what he says, we got anybody in here who speaks German? Okay, all right. So y'all let me know if I mess this up. I always do this to a crowd to just find out how many people out here know the actual language. Danke sehr. Is that how you say it? Perfect. That's not how you say it. He's saying yeah, he's saying no. Okay. So he said, that's how you say thank you. I said, okay, now I can't say that either. I'll probably screw that up. Probably forget it. You know, 1.8 guy here. I'll probably forget that. All right, the next thing, I called up some friends of mine who are missionaries in Papua New Guinea. I said, well, how do you say thank you? Now, how many people here know Papua New Guinea? Mandik. Okay, good. I'm good on this one. All right. He said, I would say abarca. I said, abarca? He said, yep, abarca. I said, no, I'll probably say something different. So I don't even want to say that. So lastly, I called up someone from Hawaii. Surely they would know, you know, wiki wiki, hang loose is what they say. And I said, how do you say thank you? And they say, mahalo. That's how you say thank you. But since I'm none of these people and I'm in none of these places, since I'm an American, I'm just going to simply say thank you. But it's not going to be a simple thank you. It's going to be a thank you that is laced with commitment and gratitude. And when I say a commitment laced with gratitude, you look at, you know, the rights. I'm going to exercise. The number one thing that I'm going to do to show you that I thank you is, number one, I'm going to exercise the liberties that you fought for so your commitment will not be in vain. That's how you tell people thank you. Say, the reason we're here today is we have the freedom to assemble freely. We have the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. So guess what? I'm going to tell you thank you by exercising those rights. That's how I'm going to tell you thank you, that I appreciate your service. Next thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you thank you by thank you for fighting for the freedom and the civil liberties of you and your family just as you fought for mine. So this is basically what I'm saying. I'm going to fight for your freedom because you fought for mine. All these veterans that are here from World War One, from World War II, the Vietnam War, the Persian Gulf War, Lebanon, Somalia, all of the veterans that are here that have done all these different things, guess what? Because you did it for me, I'm going to make sure I'll do it for you. I'm going to make sure your family's taken care of just like you did for mine. That's how you say thank you. Exercising our civil liberties, and then number two, fighting for them just like they fought for us. And then number three, ensuring the sacrifices of the men and women and families assembled here today are not forgotten, and that we will not lose hope through praying for this country. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. So when I look at those things, I'm just not going to say just thank you. I'm going to ensure that the things that they fought for are protected. Am I right, veterans? That's all we want. I don't want a big parade. I don't want all these things. I just want to know that the things that I've been fighting for are not in vain. I want to make sure that your civil liberties are being taken care of, that you're protecting my family just like I protected yours, and that we're taking care of things here in-house. And that's the blessing of it. One last thing that I'm going to say, and some of my Navy brethren may remember this. There's a nautical term. It's called nailing the colors to the mast. Is anybody familiar with that term? Nailing the colors to the mast. Well, whenever ships were in battle, they would always fly their colors, their colors from whatever service or from whatever country they were for. And they would fly those colors to designate, hey, this is who I am. Well, in times of surrender, when that ship would surrender, they would pull down those colors and hoist up a white flag. But if a captain did not want to give up his ship, he sent someone up the mast and he nailed the colors to the mast. This was symbolic of I'm not giving up and I'm staying in the fight. So that's what I want to share with you today. As these veterans are assembled here and we're giving them thanks for what they've done, that's what we need to do for our families and for the Lord. We need to nail the colors to the mast. Climb up the mast in your life and say, you know what, I'm not giving up my family. I'm not giving up who I am in Christ. I'm nailing it to the mast. So God bless you. Thank you so much for having me, and you have a good day.
We're going to recognize those veterans that are here today by name, and then we're going to recognize those veterans who couldn't make it today, and then we're going to recognize those veterans who have passed. And in order to do this, Lieutenant Colonel John Lister, United States Army retired, and a Ranger, will do that for us. So please welcome him.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me out there? Very good. What we're going to do here, just like Colonel Wilson said, we're going to go through some names here. And if you are present, I call your name. If you're able to stand, please stand and remain standing. If you're not able to stand, that's fine. And I'll briefly talk a little bit about each person. Also, I want to mention, Mr. Bevel, that, you know, when you... Obviously, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. That's great. I mean, that's what I like to hear. A Marine. Good, good. Okay, we're getting there. And also an actor. I've seen your movies. That's great. And a pastor. But, you know, when you said artillery, yeah, that's the cats me out right there. All right, okay. We all know what we do with cats, don't we, geometry students? All right. All right, I'm just going to go down through the list. It's not necessarily in alphabetical order, but as you, like I said, as I call your name, and also if I miss somebody here, if I missed your name, if I don't have you on the list at the end, please let us know, and we'd like to recognize you. Right. And first, we're going to start with John Hassenbank, U.S. Navy. Is John here? And I have a list of others that, if you'd like to remain standing, that's great. If you want to sit back down, it's fine. But I have a list of others here, and this is kind of a short list, but we have Alfred Lujan. Is that right, Lujan? All right, way over here, okay. That would be U.S. Navy. Gilbert Hartman, U.S. Army. James Gray, U.S. Air Force. Right here. And a few others here on this, that's kind of a long list, really. Joe Bergeron, Army, U.S. Army. Fritz Lanham, Army. And the others, I don't have your service, but I'm just going to mention the names. It's Sue Lanham, Dorothy Inerity, okay. And France Hatton. All right, so here we go with the long list. Now, if you'd like to hold your applause until the end, that'd be great so we can all eat. But let's see. I have a couple of notes here. I'm going to start with Jim Mueller, U.S. Army. That's Ted Knapp's grandfather. All right. And we also have Eddie Burge. He's in the Marine Corps, a captain. Was in the Marine Corps, right? And then we have, now I have all this stuff to go through here. It's going to be wonderful. So we have Robert Manning. He was in the Army, and he's in the Army right now, and he's on leave. He's on leave from Afghanistan. He'll be back there in a couple of weeks, right? Lieutenant Jay Barley, Army, Vietnam. Okay. Sergeant Gene Dollison, U.S. Marine Corps, Vietnam. Okay. Specialist Kevin Englishby, U.S. Army. And Kevin served in Bosnia. Specialist Robert Manning III, U.S. Army, and he's currently serving in Afghanistan, but he's on 2 weeks leave right now. Is he here? Oh, right there. Okay, there you go. It's a rather long trip, isn't it? Dennis O'Brien, Army, Vietnam. Okay. Dennis also won the Purple Heart. That means he was wounded. Okay. Major Paul Davies, U.S. Marines. The Major served in Somalia, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Okay. Tech Sergeant, Aaron Mendoza Jr. Mr. Mendoza was in the Navy. He served in World War II and the Korean War. Right. Major James Simmons, Air Force. Served in Vietnam. Sergeant Michael Seabrook, over here. Michael's a personal friend of mine. He served in Vietnam. He was a Green Beret, Special Forces. And if you've ever heard of SOG, S-O-G, Special Operations Group, they were very nice on Sundays. Right. He was also a Purple Heart winner. Colonel Bill Ehrenstrom, United States Air Force. Ehrenstrom is a popular name around here. I actually worked with him. I saw him, and I thought, I've seen you before in, when we were both in uniform. So then we have James DeWeese. James DeWeese. James was an Army signal officer to General MacArthur in the Pacific. He served in World War II in the Pacific. Right. Wow. PFC Richard Dalbello, Army. These are folks that can't attend, actually. There's a few that I mentioned that cannot attend. World War II, Richard Dalbello was in World War II. Because he's the grandfather of the Dalbello trio, is that right? Again, another person not here, Bob Marich, Marine Corps, served in Korea. Another person who can't be here, Lieutenant J.G. Harry Platter, in the Navy, World War II. Another person who cannot be here, Richard Hopkins, Navy, during, it looks like, I'm looking at the years of service right after the Korean War. Okay. Now we're going to run through the Stewart list. We have a teacher, Karen Stewart, and she has a rather lengthy military family or association in the military. And her father, Harold, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. Very German word. I wanted to say Harold Krumwida, but it's Krumwida, okay, good. That's the Americanized version of that German word. And United States Navy, 19 years of service. He was in World War II and in the Battle of Okinawa. Battle of Okinawa. That's her father. Right. And the rest of them cannot be here. We have Jack Stewart, and that is your husband, is that correct? Okay. And he was in the Navy. He did a lot of stuff here. I'm just going to mention a few things. He commanded the VFA 15 group. It's a F-18 fighter squadron group. Okay, so he did a few other things too. He was captain, which is like a colonel in the Army, I think. Is that captain in the Navy? Yes. Okay. John Stewart, United States Navy, Asiatic Pacific, and again associated with the Stewarts. Okay. And that's the father-in-law of Karen Stewart. Okay. Also, their son, tell me what LCPL means. I mean, Lance Corporal? Okay, good. Lance Corporal David Stewart, and is he currently in Afghanistan? He's back, okay. So we have David Stewart in the Marine Corps, and he was associated with the Afghan campaign. Okay. And we have Lieutenant, again, the son of Ms. Stewart here, Lieutenant Christopher Stewart, 9 years in the Navy, and he served in counter narco-terrorism. Okay, that in that group is a pretty tough job. All right. Then we have the last of the list are those who have passed, and that would be Lieutenant Mark Edward Scheipel in the United States Navy. Tom O'Brien, this is the father of Nancy Wilson. Is that right? He was a lieutenant colonel. He was in the U.S. Army and during the World War II in the Pacific Campaign. We also have Russell Wolfe II as the grandfather of Ricky Wolfe. He was a lieutenant colonel during World War II, served in the 127th Infantry. And this is PFC Andy Krippner, Army. He was in Afghanistan, and he is also deceased. Okay. And we have Lieutenant Commander Royce Herbie, 14 years in the Navy, served in Korea. We also have Colonel Tom Wilson. He didn't like the Air Force much, so he only spent 30 years in it. Great friend, comrade, and I wanted to mention him for his service. He was in Desert Storm. And, of course, we have Ken Bevel in the United States Marine Corps, 20 years. Did I miss anyone that? Yes, yes. Sir, could you stand and state your name, please? That's awesome. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Right here. Yes, sir. Major Smalley, and you're? That'd be Kenzie and Courtney. You guys are sisters? So Major Smalley and West Point and everything else, it sounded like. Yeah. All right, good. Yeah. Served in Korea and twice in Vietnam, yes, sir. Right here, sir. I'd like to salute everyone here, and thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Our choir. choir has a special presentation for you all.
Our final piece this morning, I'm Going Up a Yonder, is sung in memory of the veterans who gave what Abraham Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion. We are eternally grateful for your sacrifice, and you will never be forgotten.
If anybody asks you where I'm going, soon. So if you want to know,
please bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord God, I just thank you so much for this day, and I thank you so much for everyone who had a part of putting together this assembly, Lord. I thank you so much for each and every one of the veterans who are here today and who aren't here, Lord, and I just thank you for the sacrifice that they gave for their loved ones and their country and for all of us and the example they followed through you, Lord. And I just thank you so much for Mr. Bevel and the message that he shared with us of urgency of spreading the gospel, Lord. And I just pray that we can all thank the people who have done this for us, Lord, and just give them the thankfulness that they deserve, Lord. I thank you so much for their courage and the bravery that they had in leaving what was comfortable to them to fight for us, Lord, or just to serve the country, God. I thank you so much for each and every one of the people who can make it and those who haven't, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.
I have two announcements, and then Dean has an announcement. The first announcement, you still have time, students, to turn in cell phones that we're going to give to our veterans next Monday and Tuesday. Second announcement, at the back of the chapel, students that would like to can sign up to place wreaths at the headstones of our veterans at the Houston National Cemetery. They would be doing that on Saturday, December 15th. We will place a wreath at every single headstone. If you want to be a part of that, please sign up at the back of the chapel, and you will be credited with community service time on a one-for-one basis. And I just want to thank all the veterans and Ken Bevel for coming here today and really appreciate it. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you for your respect and attention that you had throughout the assembly. Thank you so much. You're dismissed.